Today we'll begin a week looking at St. Maximilian Kolbe. Stay right there, because it's coming up now. Boy, it's hard to believe. I can't believe it. We are entering into the second week of this total consecration. Seems like we just got started, doesn't it? Today we begin a week looking at St. Maximilian Kolbe. Over the past several days, we've taken a look at St. Louis de Montfort, who is the person who popularized total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I think we learned a lot. You've asked me some good questions, and I will respond to you personally. Just give me a little bit of time, because I did get some questions. One of the questions that I do want to address, by the way, I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to the show. I should probably say that before I start blabbing. But one of the questions that I did get had to do with suffering. And the question came in, and you know what? This is a good question. And this is a very common belief, but it's something that has to be addressed. And the question was, what if I have enough suffering in my life and I honestly don't feel like taking on any more crosses? St. Louis de Montfort and Father Gately alluded to the fact that sometimes those who are close to Our Lady and close to our Lord get extra crosses. That may be true. All I can say is this. Over the past 4 years since I made my total consecration, I first made it in 2011, so it's been 4 years. This will be the fourth time I've renewed it. I guess 5 years, right? 2011, yeah, so it's 12, 13, 14, 15, yeah, 4 years. I'm not a math guy, can you tell? I can't honestly say that I've seen more crosses in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have them, but what it means is that I don't feel them. How's that? So I might be tested in ways that I wasn't tested before I made the total consecration. I can't say if I have or if I haven't. But I can say that I'm much more peaceful than I ever was before. So if I am having extra crosses, I'm sure not feeling them. And that's the point that Father Gately was trying to make yesterday. That if we are given additional crosses, and we might not get them, but if we do have additional crosses, then we're going to have so much help carrying them that we're not necessarily going to feel them. I know that's hard to explain, but any of you who have gone through suffering and were close to the Lord when you went through it, you know what it's like to feel that you're being carried as you deal with these problems. That's the type of thing that you're going to experience. So in a sense, if you make your total consecration, you get closer to Christ, you begin to branch out a little bit and put yourself second and put other people first and put the Lord first, you're going to naturally feel a little bit more discomfort because you're serving others rather than just laying back and getting served yourself. So that's going to bring on some crosses. In addition, if you begin to proclaim the good news, to talk about Jesus to other people, that is definitely going to bring some persecution your way, so you're going to get crosses that way. But it doesn't mean if you do this that you're going to get stricken with some horrible disease. And I would ask you to pray about that, though. If you're struggling with that point, the point of, I don't need any more suffering in my life, I'm not sure this is for me. If you're struggling with that, and again, that's a very common way to think. I tend to think that way. I really do. That's because I'm basically a coward, so extra suffering is not something I'm looking for. If you feel that way, ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to help you deal with that. And ask Him to help you accept it more willingly because you love His mom and you want to get close to His mom. So in other words, I've learned to, with whatever the obstacle is in my life, anything that keeps me away from the Lord or hurts my relationship with Him in any way, I ask Him for help. I ask for help with everything I could possibly think of, because I'm not strong enough to take on these problems by myself. So try that. And again, just take my assurance that I haven't seen any horrible crosses in my life. I may have these struggles that came about after I made my total consecration. Well, for instance, I got laid off right after I made my first total consecration, but that was one of the greatest blessings that ever happened to me, because I was praying for the ability to work full-time for the Lord. It's not the way I planned it, but it's the kick in the pants that I really needed to make that happen. So you could possibly look at that as a cross, as suffering, but it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life. So it's kind of like a glass half full, half empty thing. But anyway, that's the question I wanted to address today. If you have written to me, I will get back. You will talk about it more. And but I encourage you to keep the emails coming. Just be a little patient if I can't respond immediately. The other thing I want to address very briefly is to say thank you for responding to what I always hate to do, my request for additional funding for donations. I asked for that last night. You responded in a big way, and I'm very grateful for that. I really am. I thank you because I'm uncomfortable talking about it, but I do this full time, and sometimes it gets tough. Thank you so much. Because of you, I'm here today. So thank you for your generosity. I'm very, very grateful for that. Today, if we have time, we're going to look at the Mass readings. Not sure if we'll just get to the Gospel or get to all of the Mass readings, but also remember that tomorrow and Sunday, there will be programs. I'll put them up early in the afternoon, so you'll have them over the weekend. If you need anything over the weekend, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And I hope you understand when I say that, when I tell you to reach out to me, when I tell you to let me know if you're struggling with anything, I really mean it. I don't want you to quit this devotion for the wrong reason. Now, if you want to go ahead and quit it because you just don't think it's right, you don't feel comfortable, that's fine with me. I want to make sure that I do my best, though, to let you know just how wonderful this is. And if you're thinking about quitting, at least give me a chance to correspond with you through email, and let's talk about it a little bit, because I don't want you to quit for the wrong reason. So my offer is sincere. I really do want to hear from you, whether or not you're struggling, even if you just want to tell me you like the devotion, you like the way it's going. If you think of anything we can do to improve it, you let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. I know the question on your mind today is, what is the beverage du jour? Well, here we go. Yeah. Now, we're going back to coffee today. Believe it or not, this is a cup of McDonald's coffee. They now have it at the supermarket, and it's very good. I like it. So I have McDonald's coffee today. It's not Mystic Monk coffee. You know how I love Mystic Monk, but it's still very good. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you've got your beverage. Hope you got your snack, and I hope you're ready to get started. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you for the blessing of letting us come together for these 30 minutes on Blog Talk Radio to talk about total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Father, you're so good to us. You're so good. You sent us your Son, Jesus. You gave us the Blessed Mother to be our spiritual mother. Help us as we continue on this journey. Help us to have an open mind and get the most out of this as we possibly can. Help us to be strong. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not be afraid. We ask you to bless us, to bless all of our family, those around us. We ask you to accept all of our personal intentions, our worries, our problems, things that distract us. We give them to you this day, and we ask you to help us. Father, I give you this program, and I ask you to work through me today. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her help as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm getting a little choked up here. I got something stuck in my throat. By the way, I have the window open, so if you hear any of the sounds from outside drifting in, it's a beautiful day here in southern New Jersey. Hope you're comfortable wherever you are. We're getting set to launch into week two of this Total Consecration. We're going to spend the next 7 days discussing St. Maximilian Kolbe and learn about his Marian teaching. After that, we move into a week focused on Mother Teresa and then St. John Paul II. After that, got 5 days to review, and then we make our total consecration. So I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you're getting something out of it. It really sounds like you are. That's a good thing. But as always, you know, if you have a question, please let me know. I'd rather you ask the question than be confused on your own, right? We can get confused together. I might confuse you more with my answer. But I want to be here for you to help you through this. Okay, little comments, a little paragraph that Father Gately puts in before the material for day 8. This week we'll focus on the example and words of the 20th century apostle of Marian consecration, St. Maximilian Kolbe. Kolbe knew well de Montfort's Marian teaching and spoke enthusiastically about it. In formulating his own expression of true devotion to Mary, he not only deepened several of de Montfort's insight, but added many new ideas from his own contemplation of the mystery of Mary. Before we turn to his Marian teaching, let's first get to know the man. So the first day's material is, Who are you, St. Maximilian Kolbe? Who are you, St. Maximilian Kolbe? If we were to ask the saint this question in an interview, we might be disappointed, at least initially. With gentleness and humility, he would probably reply, Now that question is not so important. What's really important is this one. Who are you, Immaculate Conception? This answer shouldn't disappoint us if our goal in the interview were to get to know St. Maximilian. For his answer actually tells us a lot about him. In fact, one great passion of his life was to come to know the mystery of Mary, particularly as she revealed herself to St. Bernadette of Lourdes. I am the Immaculate Conception. Why did she call herself the Immaculate Conception? Isn't her name Mary? Tomorrow, we'll begin to reflect on this intriguing mystery. Today, let's see what, in our hypothetical interview, Kolbe wouldn't have answered. Who is St. Maximilian Kolbe? He's known by many titles. Martyr of Charity, the Saint of Auschwitz, founder of the Militia Immaculata, Apostle of Mary, and patron saint of the 20th century. But before all this, he was just Raymond Kolbe, who in 1894 was born into a poor Polish farming family. And from the beginning, one wouldn't have guessed he'd eventually be a great saint. In fact, one day his mother was so frustrated with his behavior that she yelled at him in exasperation, Raymond, what will become of you? That shook the boy to the core. Filled with grief, he immediately turned to the Mother of God, asking her, What will become of me? Then he went to a church and repeated his question. The future saint recounted what happened next. Then the Virgin Mother appeared to me holding in her hands two crowns, one white, and one red. She looked at me with love, and she asked me if I would like to have them. The white meant that I would remain pure, and red that I would be a martyr. I answered yes, I wanted them. Then the Virgin looked at me tenderly and disappeared. The white crown of purity came first. Raymond confirmed himself in it when, as Brother Maximilian, he professed religious vows, one of which was chastity. But his purity was not just of the body, for there's another kind of purity, purity of intention. A person practices purity of intention when he directs his thoughts, words, and actions, not to himself or another creature, but to a divine purpose or a mission, and ultimately to God. Perhaps because of his natural intensity and passion, Kolbe felt a particularly strong desire to give himself to a specific mission or goal. One of his classmates in the minor seminary relates, he often said that he desired to consecrate his entire life to a great idea. Kolbe's great idea eventually crystallized into what he called the Militia Immaculata, which he started in 1917 with six of his fellow seminarians. The MI, as they called it, truly was a great idea. at least in the sense of its ambition. Its goal was nothing less than to bring the whole world to God through Christ under the leadership of Mary Immaculate, and to do so as quickly as possible. Fulfilling this mission through obedience to God's will, in union with Mary Immaculate, was Kolbe's entire concern, his pure intention, and he sacrificed everything for its accomplishment. Which brings us to the Red Crown. In 1941, after decades of incredibly fruitful apostolic labors in Poland and Japan, Kolbe was arrested by the Gestapo and sent to the Auschwitz concentration camp. Before his arrest, his brother Franciscans had pleaded with him to go into hiding. He said he was so grateful for their loving hearts, but couldn't follow their advice. Later, he explained why. "I have a mission. The Immaculata has a mission to fulfill." That mission was accomplished on the eve of the feast of Mary's Assumption into Heaven, when after having volunteered to take the place of a prisoner condemned to starvation, the impatient Nazis finished Kolbe off with a lethal injection. Thus, St. Maximilian died a martyr of charity and received his second crown from the Immaculata. Now, before we do the prayer, that's the material for today, but before we do the prayer, I want to point out something. That's a powerful story, and if you're like me, you hear that, and you think, well, there's no way that I could ever do that. I could never be that strong. That's not the type of thing that I would do. I'm not so sure I want to get involved in any devotion that might make me want to do that, right? I mean, I'm sure that's the way you might be thinking, but here's what I would counter with. Can you imagine how peaceful and how powerful we would feel if we were able to accept whatever the Lord sends our way, including martyrdom? And again, there's a very good chance we are not going to be forced to give up our lives in a literal sense for the Lord. There's a very good chance that that won't happen. But that desire, it would be so great if we could have that desire. In other words, Lord, if this is your will, I'm fine with it. And that's where a great saint like Saint Maximilian can help us, because he can lead us closer to our Blessed Mother, who will lead us to Jesus. And in the process, we can get that great desire, or we can be given the gift of that desire, even though by ourselves we're afraid. You know, and that's the type of thing that he can help us with. Somebody like that who has that kind of drive and intensity and love for our Lord and our Lady, that's the kind of guy I want on my side, and I want him to help me because I want to feel the same way. Because honestly, there are times in my life when things come up and when I'm challenged, not even necessarily with persecution, when it gets too difficult or I have to leave my comfort zone, that I'll back off and say, well, that might be too painful. I don't know if I can go through with that. So I want a little bit more of that desire. I want a lot more of that desire because I know on my own, I'm just not strong enough to do it. So Saint Maximilian can help us, and he attributes his willingness to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord to our Blessed Mother. So he acknowledges her power in his life and how much she can help, how much she helped him, and how much she can help us as well. But the trick is we've got to be willing to go along with asking for her help. That's why we're going through this 33-day preparation. We just don't want to blindly jump into it. Because when St. Louis de Montfort developed this devotion, he wanted to make sure that people who were consecrating themselves were aware of what it is that they were doing. Because we want to come out of this with a greater devotion to Our Lady. She's going to work. She's going to do her thing behind the scenes. But we want to become more aware of her involvement. We want to become more aware of the Holy Spirit's involvement. We want to become more aware of our own sinfulness, too. And when that happens, when we become more aware of these things, then we're more willing to do what it is that the Lord wants us to do with our life, namely to be holy and to follow His will. So that's where we're headed. Now let's do the prayer, and then we'll go into the Mass readings. I've got about 10 minutes, which is good. Today's prayer: Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, make me pure in body and spirit, and help me to die to myself. Now again, even if we are not going to have to literally lose our life to martyrdom, we're all called to die to self. That's what holiness is all about. We talked about that on the program. Holiness is dying to yourself, living not for yourself, but living for others. This is how we serve the Lord. We serve Him by serving others. Okay, now if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Now tomorrow we'll continue with looking at St. Maximilian's life. We'll look at his idea of the Immaculate Conception. Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? We don't normally think of Mary as the Immaculate Conception. We think that she was conceived immaculately, but we don't necessarily think of her being the Immaculate Conception. So we'll explore that a little bit more on tomorrow's program and on Sunday's program. So I hope you'll be able to join us for that. Okay, time to let the Lord speak to us through the daily Mass readings today. You know, I neglected to mention this during the prayer, and it's a mistake on my part. Today is September 11th. We want to remember all those individuals who perished during the terrorist attacks, their families, anybody who was affected by that whole very, very difficult and tragic experience. We want to remember, but we want to also remember that God is greater than any potential problem we can face in this world. And even though we don't understand it, God allows evil to exist. We all have free will. And because we have free will, that free will can be abused. That free will can be used to do good things, but it can also be used to do evil. It's a great mystery, but it doesn't mean that anything in this life is outside of God's control. We never want to forget that. He is above everything. Could He have prevented that attack from happening? You bet. Did He want it to happen? No. But He allowed it to happen. He allows evil to take place every day. We're never going to understand it, but that's okay. We're not God. What we need to do is trust and grow close to Him. And every day, focus on Him. You need to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you begin to experience peace, even when things like what happened on September 11th, 2001, take place. But please remember everybody. A lot of people were affected by that. A lot of people are still feeling the effects of that day. Keep them all in your prayers today. And you know, you especially want to remember the souls of those who lost their lives that day, because they didn't expect to die. That can be really dangerous. If somebody's not ready to die, they could be in the state of mortal sin. So that's definitely something that warrants our prayers. We want to pray for the repose of their souls. Okay, let's look at these Mass readings. Let's see. You've got about 7 minutes. I can get them in. The first reading today is from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. So we're launching into a new book of the Bible, a new epistle of St. Paul, the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy, beginning in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to Him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and an arrogant man, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You know what? That's a beautiful passage. Because it reminds us that no matter how bad we think we are, no matter how badly we have sinned, there's hope for us. And the Lord can use us to do great things. When we look at what He did with St. Paul, that's a perfect example. Paul was a persecutor. of Christians. Paul persecuted the Christians. But yet the Lord appointed him an apostle. And it says it right here, even though he wasn't one of the 12 selected initially by Jesus. Jesus, when he met him on the road to Damascus, we read about this in the Acts of the Apostle. Paul talks three times about this conversion experience he had in the Acts of the Apostles. He mentions this conversion that occurred on the road to Damascus. It was at that point when he encountered Jesus, and he met him, and he became an apostle. He became a bearer of the good news. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles. So he had a really big job, but he had a really ugly history. His past was very much rooted in evil. He did some bad things. He was a Pharisee. He might have had good intentions, but he did some bad things. There's hope for all of us. That's one of the reasons we're making total consecration. We acknowledge that we're sinners. It's okay. We're all sinners. But the Lord can do great things in our lives. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 16, "You are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord." You show me the path to life. Fullness of joys in your presence. When you are in the presence of the Lord, either in his presence, his real presence in the Eucharist, or even in his spiritual presence as you pray, as you read your scriptures, and you let him speak to you, you have that encounter, then you are in a very special place. You'll delight when you're in the presence of the Lord. So let's take advantage of that and make sure we're in his presence every day. The gospel, Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 42. Jesus told his disciples a parable. "Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye,' when you don't even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will clearly see to remove the splinter in your brother's eye." You and I, we got problems. We've got issues. We are sinners. When you go through a process like we're doing, total consecration, you're going to become more aware of the many sins that you commit every day, and you may have become desensitized to. So it's not that you're becoming a worse person, you're becoming a bigger sinner when you make this total consecration, just you're going to have a more an increased awareness of just how many times you do sin. That is an absolute blessing. And the reason it's a blessing is because we are still alive. We're at a point where we can start, with the Lord's help, to work against, or to try to overcome some of these sins that hold us back. So let's continue to stay with this devotion, to day by day, to ask the Lord, through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, to help us to grow closer to him and to be able to see the defects that we have, so that we can make these changes in our own lives. It's great that we can point out somebody else's sinful behavior. Sometimes we have to do that. But the most important thing to take care of is our own sinfulness. We can do something about that. I can't change what somebody else does. I can tell them, but I can't change it. My sins are caused by me. So I need to work on those. And then the first thing I need to do is acknowledge that I have these defects. St. Paul did. He talked about the fact that he was a persecutor of Christians. So let's pray for that grace as we go through this preparation, okay? Hope you have a wonderful night. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, contact me, Gary at Following the Truth. If you need anything, followingthetruth.com. I should say, if you need anything, I hope to talk to you tomorrow. God willing, I'll be here. I hope you are as well. Have a great night. God bless.